Unless we have an assurance that God exists, there is no way we can be the vibrant Christian that God wants us to be.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. One of the challenges facing the church in America is that many young people who were raised in Christian homes are departing from the faith. Studies conducted by both the Barna Group and USA Today indicate that 75% of Christian young people fall away from the faith and leave the church after high school. Pastor Brian Grant says, quote, "As I pondered this startling statistic, the Lord led me to prepare a special miniseries which I've entitled Answers to Some of Today's Toughest Questions," end quote. This evening begins the first of those messages. Here now is Pastor Grant with How Can I Be Sure God Exists?
Years ago, Muhammad Ali was seated in first class on a plane that was preparing for takeoff. And as he sat, the flight attendant came to Ali and she told him to buckle up his seatbelt. She walked away to check on some other passengers. And when she passed back, guess what had happened? Muhammad Ali had not buckled up. So she told him very sweetly, "Mr. Ali, you really have to buckle your seatbelt." She walked away again. And this time, you know, it was almost time for the plane to begin taxiing towards the runway. So she said, "Mr. Ali, you have to," this time she was firm, "Mr. Ali, you have to buckle your seatbelt. We are not going to be able to move this plane until your seatbelt is buckled." Ali was unmoved, and he looked at the flight attendant and said to her, "I don't have to buckle my seatbelt, for Superman don't need no seatbelt." The flight attendant looked him straight in the eye and said, "Well, Superman don't need no airplane either." Actually, she was right, because Superman, he can fly by himself. Am I right about that? Have you noticed that many people believe they can make up their own rules? This mindset that I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, it has far-reaching implications. And as a result, there is a growing number of Americans, and not just Americans, but people all around the world, who believe they don't need God. Am I right about that? In fact, some have gone so far as to suggest that there is no God. Now, this mindset has had a significant impact on our younger generation, and studies conducted by the Barna Group and USA Today indicate, listen to good, that 75% of Christian young people will fall away from the faith and leave the church after high school. Did you hear what the statistics are telling us? 75% of young people who grow up in the church and identify themselves as Christians will leave the church. Not will, are leaving the church. I still have a hard time believing that statistic. But with all the stuff our young people are being taught in high school and college these days, there's no doubt that many young people are starting to ask the question if God really exists. And I want to speak to parents. I'm speaking to the young people, but I'm also speaking to parents because I'm not sure many of us as Christian parents get it. The days when you can cruise as a parent and spend very little time teaching your children personally the Word of God, the time when that can happen and your children follow Jesus, those days are fast leaving us. And we as parents have to become much more engaged in parenting, and in making sure we pass on Christian values and help our children understand what God has to say. And I am convinced, I know for a fact, that unless we have an assurance that God exists, our Christian faith cannot be what it ought to be. We may come to church, but unless we have an assurance that God exists, there is no way we can be the vibrant Christian that God wants us to be. And yes, in these next several weeks, I'm planning to have four messages, but it could be extended as we seek to deal with some of the tough issues of today. And today I want us, as you've heard, we're speaking on how can I be sure that God exists. I want to leave with you today four powerful evidence for the existence of God. Put this in your notes. This is the first one. The first evidence for the existence of God is what we call the teleological evidence. Now, that's a big word. You don't have to break your tongue trying to say it. But teleology has to do with design and purpose. And you know, I have tried to keep things very simple. So I want you to add this to your notes to really understand really what we are saying. Here's the key. But it's good for you to have the big word as well. So when you hear it, you know what they're talking about. Our complex universe must have had a designer. Amen? Amen. Flip back in your Bible, if you don't mind, to Psalm 19. The 19th Psalm, and I'm just going to read verses 1 to 6 for you. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. He says the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, its circuit to the other end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the what? The firmament shows his handiwork. When we look into the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars, they did not get there by chance. God put them there. The scriptures tell us they are God's what? Handiwork. They are God's handiwork. God put them there. But some scientists reject the idea that this universe had a designer. And so in many colleges and universities, young people are being taught that the idea that the universe has a designer is a religious myth. And that anyone who believes that the world, the earth, the universe had a designer, anyone who believes that, they're trying to make us believe you're not only unscientific, but you lack intelligence. For you to believe that nonsense, that the world, the universe had a designer, is crazy. You are from the dark ages. That is a religious myth. The truth is, young people, older folks, those you listening to me and those who will watch this broadcast, for those listening on the radio, the truth is that what they tell you, if you have a teacher, a professor who tells you that, they are telling you nonsense. For some of the most brilliant scientists in history believed the universe must have had a designer. These include people like Sir Isaac Newton, Michael Faraday, who we all learned about in our electricity classes, René Descartes, Blaise Pascal, and I could go on and on with these brilliant scientists of history who definitely believed that the universe could not have come about without a designer. Sir Frederick Hoyle, the former director of the Institute. So some of those are old guys. And I'm talking about a 20th century scholar. Sir Frederick Hoyle, the former director of the Institute of Theoretical Astronomy at the renowned Cambridge University. This guy is no slouch. He's from one of the most renowned universities on the planet. He was the director of the Institute of Theoretical Astronomy and one of the world's most renowned astrophysicists. And here is what he said. He said, the thought that the universe could arise from nothing, stay with me now, the thought that the universe could arise from nothing is like believing a tornado could sweep through a junkyard and form a 747 jet. I hope somebody's listening to me this morning. Because you may be in a college where your professor is telling you that the world did not have a designer, and I'm here to tell you that men as Sir Frederick Hoyle, the director, former director of the Institute of Theoretical Astronomy at Cambridge University, he says that the idea that the universe could arise from nothing is like believing a tornado could sweep through a junkyard. No, and form a 747. To believe that this universe could come about without a designer is like believing that. So let me put it to you more simply. If we all went on Amazon.com, Amazon, you better send me some money for mentioning your name. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. If we went on Amazon and we purchased all the components of a watch, we got together, we unpacked all the components of a watch, and we threw them up in the air, how many of you believe when they fall to the ground, they would come together as a perfectly operating watch? How many of you believe that? You say, Brian, that's impossible. How could that happen? Well, I hope you realize the concept that this world could have started without a designer. Listen. That our bodies could have come about without a designer, and that the universe could come about without a designer. It is more crazy to believe that the universe could come about without a designer than to believe you could throw the parts off of the watch in the air and it comes together perfectly working fine. Did you know that every second, stay with me now, the energy the sun gives off is 97 million times greater than the average amount of electricity used in the United States in an entire year. Could I say that again? The energy that is used in the United States in a whole year. And we burn energy, don't we? The amount we use in a whole year, the sun emits 97 million times the energy we use in 1 second. Every single second. Did you know that if the earth were located any further from the sun, we would freeze? And if it was located any closer to the sun, we would burn up. Did you know that? Who do you think calibrated the distance? Who do you think put the world in the exact right spot? Somebody help me. Who did it? Did you know that if the magnetic forces of the earth were any weaker or any stronger, life could not exist on earth? Someone designed the magnetic forces to be just right. Can you help me? Who did it? Did you know that if the earth didn't tilt on a 23-degree angle, there would be no seasons and no crops? Did you hear that? If the earth did not tilt on a 23-degree angle, there'd be no seasons. We'd all starve to death. Someone designed the earth to tilt at just the right angle. Can you tell me who did it? They tell us, but is the professor telling you it all happened by chance? It just happened. Did you know that in every cell in our body, there is a detailed instruction code that tells it how to act and what to do? That's what we call what? DNA. Who designed and placed this DNA in our body? Aren't you glad there is a God? Aren't you glad that there is a God who is working out all the details and has set the earth just right and has put your body together just right? So with all this clear evidence, why do people have such a hard time believing there is a God? Well, Romans chapter 1, you may have missed it. It did tell you. So let's go back there for a minute. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, here's what it says. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I'll come back there. Listen to what it says. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, God says, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is saying, I have shown myself clearly. The fact of my existence has been clearly manifested. So why is it that people have such a hard time? Look at verse 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The issue is not the revelation of God. The issue is because of our ungodliness, men and women are suppressing the truth. They are holding it down. They are refusing to believe. They are forcing themselves to believe a lie. I'm going to encourage you young people, make sure you don't allow ungodly professors and teachers who are purposely suppressing the revelation of God. They are purposely suppressing it. Don't allow them to lead you astray into believing that God does not exist. Amen? Because the teleological evidence for the existence of God is clear. The second evidence for the existence of God is the moral evidence. The moral evidence. Romans chapter 2, verses 12. Let's pick up at verse 12. And here is how it reads. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Stay here now. Listen good. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Listen, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their self-thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Every human being, I'm coming back to the verses in a moment, but let me just say this. Every human being is born with a moral compass. That's why universally, we automatically know that murder is wrong, that rape is wrong, and that torturing a baby for fun is wrong. Am I right about that? Everybody knows torturing a baby for fun is wrong. Even if some people do it, they know it is wrong. And universally, it is frowned on. So where did this moral compass come from? Why are some types of behavior universally viewed as right and others as wrong? Did you ever stop to think of that? Why is it that across the world we automatically know that some things are wrong? Verses 14 and 15 are actually tell us why. They're telling us it's because God has written his law in our hearts. And to make sure you don't miss it, I'm going to put verses 14 and 15 on the screen in the New Living Translation. And hear it how verses 14 and 15 read in the New Living Translation. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. Did you ever pay attention to this verse? Without having heard it, they instinctively obey it. They demonstrate that God's law is what? Is written in their hearts. For their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. So put this in your notes. This is important. The reason we know right from wrong is because there is a God who is a moral being. Amen? And who has written his moral law in our hearts. The reason we know right from wrong is because there is a God who is a moral being and who has written his moral law in our hearts. We cannot get away from this. The primary reason people around the globe know right from wrong is because there is a God. The scientists and the professors may try and tell you. But as I said before, sometimes we say the scientists don't believe this. What I've tried to share with you already is that that is not a universal thing, because some of the greatest scientists in history and some of the greatest scientists today, and I'll bring up another one presently, believe that there is a God. In fact, many of them believe there's not only a God, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only God. Oh, many of them do. You don't hear about that much, but you better believe that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has revealed himself just like he has revealed himself to you and I. He has revealed himself to many, many scientists, and there are scores and scores who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.